It's nice to welcome Dr. David Glass here tonight from the University of Ulster. I don't know very much about David either. We've exchanged a few emails and spoken once on the phone. So maybe to begin with, David, you could tell us just briefly about yourself.
Okay. Well, I'm originally from Armagh. Now live in Green Island, just outside Carrickfergus, with my wife Kathy and six young children. I have worked for all my working life in science. It's been a great privilege to work in a number of different areas, but within the sort of fields of mathematics, physics, computer science, that kind of thing. And throughout that time, I've also been very much interested in the relationship between science and belief in God. When I was a student, this raised a lot of questions for me, as it does for many people, this sort of perception that there's a conflict between the two. And so I had to start looking into this to think about it in terms of my own faith and what the implications were and so forth. And so this began a long journey for me. In fact, the more I looked into it, the more, and we'll get on to this, the more I found that it actually... belief in God made an awful lot of sense of things for me, and so I pursued these issues over the last 20 years or so, and so I've taken an interest in those debates, taken an interest in atheism in particular, and trying to understand where atheists are coming from and to understand their objections to belief in God to try to respond to them.
Okay, thank you. That sets the scene. It's a huge subject.
It is, absolutely.
We can only scratch the surface tonight. But maybe just to begin with, it would be good to ask you this. We're very often given the message that, look, science and faith just do not mix. Is it possible to be a scientist and to be a Christian?
I think not only is it possible, I think it makes an awful lot of sense to be a scientist and to be a Christian. When we look at the history of science, what we discover is that many of the founding fathers of science, many of the leading figures throughout the history of science were devout believers in God. I mean, you think of people like Kepler and Boyle, Newton, Faraday, Maxwell. All of these people believed in God. Now, they weren't all, I mean, I take the example of Newton. He certainly wasn't an Orthodox Christian by any stretch of the imagination, although many of them were. But even for Newton, his belief in God wasn't just a sort of sideshow, but was very much part of their influence for studying the world around them. The reason being, basically, that it was because they believed in God that they expected to find an orderly world out there. Why should the world be like that? Why should it not just be a sort of random, chaotic mess? They expected to find order and went looking for it because of their belief in God. Actually, what we find in the origins of science is that it comes in this Christian context. And they also believe that we could use our minds to go and understand something of this world. Why? Well, because they believed that we were made in God's image. And so Kepler had this remarkable phrase that when he was doing science, he was thinking God's thoughts after him. Sometimes they referred to two books, the Book of Scripture and the Book of Nature. And that that in a sense they complemented each other. By looking at nature and studying it, we could get just a little glimpse into how God had done it, into the mind of God, to the amazing world that God had created. Now, of course, there is this perception that there is a conflict, but in fact, it seems to me that a belief in God and in Christianity provides a really good foundation for doing science. So I think it makes a lot of sense.
That's very interesting. So really what you're saying as well is that the likes of Newton, Kepler and so on, if they were here today, this would be anathema to them, this whole idea that science disproves God.
Oh, very much so. I mean, when Kepler, for example, discovered the laws of planetary motion, he didn't think for one second that somehow undermined his belief in God. Far from it. This is just what he expected. And when he discovered it, he would have thought, well, isn't this amazing just how God has ordered the universe in which we live?
Another thing that I hear quite often, very often from atheists who like to use their scientific belief to say, look, God doesn't exist, is this, isn't science really much more rational than faith?
Yeah, you do often hear this. And I think there are a number of reasons for that. And so you'll have to stop me because if I go on to all these reasons, it could take a while. But let's just take the two words to start with. science. One of the things that you will often hear in the media about this, well, science is based on evidence, whereas belief in God, well, that's a matter of faith. And faith, well, what is faith? Well, they'll tell us that faith is believing something for which there's no evidence. So, okay, you've got a great conflict here. Science is evidence-based. Faith is lack of evidence. Now, of course, sometimes we might use the word faith in that way. People will say, oh, well, you just believe that because of faith or something like that. Now, in the Christian sense, though, that is certainly not what Christians mean by the word faith. By faith, we mean something more like trust, like trusting a person. And the question is trusting a person rational? Does it make sense to trust a person? Well, the obvious answer is it depends which person you're talking about. It's rational to trust some people. It mightn't be rational to trust others. And the evidence can be relevant to that. It depends on what the person's like, on their character, and what you know about them. And so when it comes to Christian faith, I think that in that case, it can, of course, be entirely rational because we can look at the evidence, we can weigh up whether it makes sense to believe in God, whether it makes sense to trust in God, and so forth. And so this idea that there's a sort of simple conflict, evidence-faith, it's just based on a complete misunderstanding. Let me take one other example. You can come in with more if you wish, but to take one other one, there's a very common idea that what has happened as science has progressed is that the more it explains, the less and less need there is for God. So maybe in the past people, I don't know, believed in the gods or something to explain thunder and lightning. This is a sort of idea that's often portrayed. And then science comes along and it explains that, and so there's no longer any need for God. Now, this is just, a complete misunderstanding of how to think about it. I mean, if it was that simple, Kepler would have given up his faith in no time. But just to think of a very simple illustration, I mean, let's suppose afterwards we go into the kitchen and the kettle's boiling. And you ask me, why is the kettle boiling? Well, you know, I can give you an explanation in terms of the electric current and the element of the kettle and the resistance of the element generating heat and that increasing the kinetic energy of the... And you're half asleep by the time I've got that far. So I can give you this scientific explanation of why the kettle's boiling, but you kind of look at me puzzled, and somebody else walks in and they say, oh, well, I'll tell you why the kettle's boiling. I want to make a cup of tea. Now, tell me this. Who's got it right? Are you going to turn around to me and say, no, that scientific stuff, that's all wrong? Or turn to the other person and say, it's nothing to do with the tea. It's all that scientific explanation. Now, clearly that is crazy. Both explanations are true. They're different kinds of explanations. And that's how somebody like Kepler would have looked at science and belief in God. They're not in competition in that sense. Now, that's not to say that no conflict can ever arise, and I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that science never throws up issues that raise questions for me as a Christian. But what I would say is that the questions it throws up for atheism are far, far greater. Okay, so those are a couple of the sorts of things we hear, I think, quite often in the media that portray this sort of inevitable conflict, and it's largely a myth, to be honest. There are some more, but that's a couple to get started anyway.
Well, look, that's very helpful. Another one, which I hear quite often is, you know, see the Bible. You know, you read about silly stuff in the Bible, such as Jesus turning water into wine and all sorts of miracles. Like, how, as a scientist, how can you marry the Bible and science, and particularly biblical miracles and science?
Yeah. Okay, it's a good question, and again, that is one of the things that is often said. How could any rational sort of scientific person in the 21st century believe in miracles? I mean, isn't that the craziest idea of them all? Well, actually, no, it's not. It's when you think about it, it's not difficult to see that there isn't a problem here. What science does is it tells us how the world normally works. It tells us about gravity and the motion of the planets and all the rest of it. It tells us about how the world normally works. But if there's a God, why couldn't God, if he so chose, do something in a different way from time to time? I mean, would there be something to prevent God from doing that? Couldn't he do things in a different way? Certainly the Apostle Paul thought he could. One of his points was, and you see, of course, if you know for sure there's no God, well then, I would agree, if there's no God, it really doesn't make sense to believe that somebody rose from the dead. I mean, if there's no God, how could somebody naturally rise from the dead? But of course, Christians don't believe that Jesus naturally rose from the dead or that Jesus naturally turned water into wine. What they believe is that God, by his authority, did these things. And of course, God would be able to do them. So there really, I think, isn't a problem. Sorry, going back to the Apostle Paul, what he said is, why would any of you think it's incredible that God should raise the dead? And of course, I don't see a problem there at all. In fact, what I would suggest here is that if you approach this with a scientific mindset, what you should do, what a good scientist should do, is not say, absolutely, miracles can't happen. What they should do is say, let's look at the evidence. Let's weigh it up and see. Somebody with a truly open mindset, that's what they would do. And now, this would be a huge topic, but we're coming up to Easter, and if anybody's interested in it, they should pursue this. Let's look at the central miraculous claim of Christianity, that God raised Jesus from the dead. And I would suggest that if you go and look at the historical evidence, and I don't just mean believe this because the Bible says it, but look at the historical evidence, I think the case for the miracle of Jesus rising from the dead is extremely good, but we don't have time to talk about that tonight.
Unfortunately not. So a lot of it's to do with perspective as well and where we're coming from. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, Richard Dawkins produced his, let's say, famous or infamous book, The God Delusion. Mm. Which he purported to be a scientific book. I might have an issue with that, but that's another discussion. But what can I say to someone who says, look, science has disproved God. The origins of life, they've been explained. We don't no longer need to think that God had anything to do with it. Because that's a very prominent worldview.
It is. And in terms of my own work, most of my work has been in science itself, but one sort of small component of it that I've been working on over the last year or so has been looking at this particular question as to whether science explains away belief in God. This is a very common view, as you rightly say, with Richard Dawkins and many others as well. Now, what they do is they make this move from science explains, that's fine, but they make the move from science explains to science explains away. And those are two very, very different things. It's one thing to say that science explains something. It's another thing to say that science explains away the need for God. Think of the kettle boiling and our two explanations again. So where they go wrong here is by just thinking you can make that move easily. Okay. Whereas, in fact, what we have been trying to show is that that's a very difficult argument. They're going to really have to show why science explains away. And when you look at the reasons for that, they're very, very poor indeed. In fact, they often just assume it. They often just assume that because science gives us an account, that therefore they've also explained away. And I really think there's just, this is an incredible mistake on their part. Because when we look, and we'll maybe come on to this, but when we look at some of the evidence from science itself, I think science gives us some very strong reasons for belief in God. And maybe one other point just to pick up on that is, again, this is often portrayed as science has explained such and such. In fact, it's sometimes as if science has explained everything. Now, that certainly isn't true. I mean, you give the example of the origins of life. Now, I'm not an expert on this area, but my impression is that scientists have really very little idea how life began. And so, again, on the TV, sometimes it's portrayed as if science has explained this or almost explained it. And in fact, I don't think it's anywhere close to it. So that's one sort of thing we've got to be careful of. And also, I think in relation to that, when we think of the sort of scientific explanations and the idea that it somehow got rid of the need for God, what they're doing is, it's not science that shows that. And you made the point about the different perspectives, the different worldviews. How do they get from science explaining something to there being no God? That's a huge leap. And it's not a leap that science can make. That's not a scientific claim. That's their own worldview, their own perspective. that's making that leap, and it's a huge leap.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. I remember reading a book and someone making the point, you know, we assume that scientists, because they wore white coats or whatever they did, well, you don't wear a white coat, David, but that, you know, because they are scientists, that they are completely neutral and unbiased. But of course, you're right in saying that they have their own worldviews as well, which sometimes they want to back up.
Well, very much so. And what happens is that sometimes you get very prominent atheists who then go out into the public sphere and they take their science and use it for the purposes of arguing for atheism. But when they do that, they're moving beyond what science can tell us.
Yeah, it's not really science. I hear quite a lot, you know, it frustrates me, but I'll ask you about it. The whole evidence thing. For example, the famous British philosopher Bertrand Russell said, you know, if he met God, he would say to God, "Not enough evidence, God, not enough evidence." Mm-hmm. So, you know, people would say there's not enough evidence for God, but there's plenty of evidence for evolutionary science. What would your response to that be?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And one of the things that I would do, I mean, take the example of evolutionary science. So sometimes we think about these kinds of things and somebody asks a question like that and we think, gosh, you know, where do you go with something like that? What I would tend to do is not get bogged down in the details of evolution and what it explains or what it doesn't, but just say, well, you know, if this person believes in evolutionary science and that there's plenty of evidence for it, one of the questions I would want to ask is, well, why do you think that science therefore gets rid of the need for God? Because even if you accepted everything that the evolutionists tell us, evolution requires an orderly universe. It requires various physical and scientific laws to be in place. It requires the fine-tuning. We might come back to that. I don't know if we have time. It requires a precisely fine-tuned universe. It requires the right kind of planet orbiting the right kind of star. It requires life to exist in the first place, and evolution doesn't explain that. So there's all sorts of things that it requires. And arguably, many of these things point to a designer, a mind, an intelligence behind the universe. And you know, there are other aspects to it too, but do I have time to pick up on the fine-tuning?
Yeah, well, I think the fine-tuning one would be, before we finish, really, really good, because it's something that, again, I'm not a scientific person, but when I've looked into the fine-tuning argument, the anthropic principle, all of these things, that it's amazing. It's almost beyond belief when you look at the figures involved.
It is. And what has happened, basically, just to give you a very quick idea about this, and I think the interesting thing about this is that this is a scientific finding. It's not as if Christians have somehow thought up this idea and tried to persuade everybody that there's a God. It's scientists, it's secular scientists over the last 40 years or so have discovered that our universe is just right for life. And, you know, sometimes it's called the Goldilocks enigma. It's not too hot, it's not too cold, it's just right. Now, how just right? Well, to take one example, if you take the gravitational and electromagnetic forces, I won't get any more technical than that, but the balance between these has got to be right to 1 part in 10 to the power of 40. That's a 1 with 40 knots after it. 1 in 10 to the power of 40, that's the kind of precision that is required for you to be here, for you to exist, for intelligent life, perhaps for any kind of life to exist in the universe. Now, tell me, what's the best explanation for that? Now, this finding has got a lot of the best scientific minds scratching their heads and saying, why is the universe like this? And I would say that far and away, the best explanation is that is not accidental, that someone has made the universe like that. Someone has fine-tuned the universe to be like that. Someone has designed it. And so this provides a very, very powerful reason, coming from science itself, for belief in God.
And, of course, the whole fine-tuning argument has so many different aspects to it, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, that's just one example. You could take another 5 or 6 examples, and it's the same sort of story. And when you look across the range of these, one very well-known cosmologist says that the impression of design is just overwhelming. when we look at this. And I think that's the right word. It would be hard to see how any kind of scientific finding could make a stronger case for a creator.
I am not suggesting that too many people here are sitting with their lottery tickets in their pocket, but I read recently that that the chances of us being here on this Earth and the Earth being where it is within the universe at exactly the degree of tilting the axis and so on and so forth, that all of that happening by chance, it would be like, it would actually be more probable or less probable than someone here, let's say in this building, winning the lottery every day for more days than the Earth has been in existence, and that doesn't even come close to the unlikelihood of...
Oh, that's right. That's the sort of numbers we're talking about. I mean, to give another illustration, there's one writer about this, and he says if you imagine a dartboard that's the size of our entire galaxy, okay, so, you know, absolutely vast, 100 billion stars or whatever within our galaxy, a dartboard that size and the bullseye to be a trillionth of an inch in diameter. That's the kind of precision to hit that bullseye that is required for us to exist. And this is a finding just of science itself.
Well, David, just as we finish, is there anything else you would like to add yourself?
Well, that's a bit of a dangerous question, yeah. Michael. But I think one of the things is... when we come to think about this, and I think one of the things I would very much want to stress is that sometimes when we think about this from a Christian point of view, we think, well, there's a lot of very prominent atheists out there, and they use science, and you know, there's so many difficulties for us, and how do we answer such and such a question or whatever, that we're kind of reluctant about science. And we think, well, maybe we can just about fend off the objections that come our way or whatever. Now, I want to say that exactly the opposite is true. And in terms of my own journey, if you like, on these things, what I have found is that the more I have looked into science, the more I have found that the case for God is really convincing. That's not to say there aren't issues and questions I still have. But, in fact, that's what happens as a scientist. Scientists just don't give up on things because they have the odd question. They go on looking for answers and looking to understand things better. And I think that's how we can explore this in terms of thinking about our faith, that there really is a good reason to believe in God. And what I think also we want to do, though, is to say that there's a difference between just sort of weighing up evidence and thinking about a scientific hypothesis. Because when it comes to the God question, it's not just like a sort of scientific theory. Because the implications for this in our lives are enormous. And I think this is one of the reasons why there's been so much debate about this issue. Because there could be no more important question about our existence than whether we are created, whether there's a God. And so the question is, if this is where the evidence and the reason points us, what do we do about that? What are the implications of that for our lives?
David, really appreciate that. I could talk to you all night, but I think Stephen might get annoyed with me here. Thank you very much indeed for taking the time to come up here tonight. Thank you.